Well, turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, we're continuing, of course, our study, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And, of course, it's a powerful letter. Paul writes really twofold. We've seen this. One is to thank for the gifts. Remember, he's in prison. They've sent him some things. He is thanking them. But the second one is to encourage them to stand for Christ, to have a life of joy in the midst of issues and problems and ups and downs, to live a joyous Christian life. His desire, of course, is that his life would count for Christ. He says back in chapter 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's his plan. And he wants that his ministry and his service to these believers, that it would make them impact. What we've been seeing for the last few weeks, now last week we had Easter and we talked about the death and resurrection of Christ, so we didn't look at Philippians, but for the last couple of weeks of Philippians, we've been seeing that Paul is charging these believers to live out who they are, to live worthy as children of God, to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and to work out their own salvation, which we'll describe what that means in just a minute, in God's power, in and through them, they're to make an impact for Jesus Christ. Now, this morning as we continue, we're seeing a big section. Let me just put something together for you. First of all, the part we're going to look at this morning is verses 14, 15, and 16. We see the testimony of these believers. Then beginning, really, 17, 18, and then on through the rest of the part, we're going to look at some lives. I just wanted to highlight this will be Paul's life. It will be the next thing we'll look at. It's a sacrificial life. We'll see that. But this morning, the emphasis will be verses 14, 15, and 16. We'll see how believers are to live as lights in a fallen world. Now think about that, that we want to be challenged, we want to be encouraged by this, we want our lives to count for Jesus Christ. Well, have you ever been lost and not know where you are? When I was a little boy, I was about 8 years old, I went to my Uncle Shed's house. Now, he lived out in the country, and you think, since I grew up in Mississippi, that Mississippi's rural, that's what we think, but I grew up in a city. I'd never really lived in the country, and so for about 2 weeks one summer, we went to stay at Uncle Shed's. And so I went out there, and I remember one night, it was already getting dark, it was one evening, and I went out, and I got into the field next to his house, and I started walking a little bit, and then all of a sudden I realized I didn't know where I was. And it was dark, and the sun was just about gone down, and I kind of got scared because I looked around, and I thought, where am I? And then I looked back, and I saw this little bitty dot, and it was the light, and I realized it was the light from the house. And so I realized if I could just run toward that dot, I could get back home, and I did. I was really glad to get back. The light really pointed the way. Well, think about this. This morning, as we look at Philippians chapter 2, and we look at verses 14, 15, and 16, Paul describes believers as lights in a fallen world. And we're the ones that show the way. We're the ones that point out the way. We're the ones that tell people the way of safety and salvation. In fact, Jesus Christ said that we're the lights of the world and that a light on the hill cannot be hidden, and that we're the ones to show the others the way of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that we'll be encouraged this morning as we think about being lights. It's pretty hard this morning because it's a challenge. It's to tell us to live a certain way. And you know, we know salvation is a gift, cost us absolutely nothing. We have eternal life, we're saved forever. But then as a child of God, as those who have believed in Jesus Christ, we're to live righteously and godly. And that's what Philippians is about. He's saying, look, live out who you are in the midst of a fallen world and within the trials and problems of life, live a godly life. So we are to be the lights in a fallen world. Well, let me remind you what we saw the last time. The last time we talked about the Christian life, and Paul said something really that was almost a little bit hard. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's at work in you, both to will and to work as his good pleasure. When you read those verses, sometimes people get confused, but what we realize is the Christian life is both active and passive. It's our side and God's side. Think about this. First of all, from our side, here's the active part. We work out our salvation. We'll talk about what that means. But from God's side, it's the passive aspect where we allow God's power in our lives. So let's get a little brief review of that, because just so you can understand it. Look at verse 12. He says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed. Now, he's talking to them about how they obey the Scripture. Not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And then here's the charge. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he's talking about from our side. He doesn't say work for your salvation, because we know salvation is a gift. When we're talking about salvation for eternal life salvation, we don't do anything for that. It's by grace we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation, the eternal life salvation, is a gift. When he talks about working out your salvation, he's talking about your Christian life. And what he's saying is, work out in your life, live out in your life who you are. Live out that you're a saved person. So when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, he's not saying try to be good enough to go to heaven. He's saying, because you are a child of God, live that out. out. Let that come from the inside, who you are as a born-again person, as you're a Christian, as you're a person who's been saved by Jesus Christ. Live that out. Live as a child of God. Back over in chapter 1, verse 27, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So he's saying, live out who you are. Then there's the second part, which is the God side. The first side is we say, I want my life to count for Christ. I'm going to live out who I am. But the second part is the passive part, where it's God's part. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work of his good pleasure. When it says, for it is God who is at work in you, the word work there means power. It is God who is the power in you. If you're going to live the Christian life, you cannot live it in your power. You decide that you're going to work out your salvation. You're going to live out who you are, but you can't do it in your power. It has to be God's power through you. It is God's strength. That's why Philippians 4:13, we'll get to it one of these days. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. It is God's power through us. And so he gave us that idea and said, listen, you live out who you are in God's power. From this, we're going to see, he's going to hit in verses 14, 15, and 16 this morning. He's going to talk about how we live and how we're to be lights in a fallen world. Let me give you the outline for this little section. First of all, we're going to see verse 14, which says, do not complain. We're going to talk about that. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. We'll see that. Then he says, let's be being holy people. The idea is what we're supposed to do. And look at verses 15 and 16, going to the next slide, because it gives us more of the details. I put it on two pages for you, or two slides. Being holy people, verses 15 and 16, we're to be above reproach. We're to be lights in the world. We're to hold fast to God's word. We're to bring glory. There's to be glory on the day of Christ. We'll talk more about that when we get to it. But look at the things that he tells us to do if we're going to be holy people for him. For God, if we want to live for God, he says, you got to be above reproach. You got to be lights in the world. You got to hold fast the word of God. You got to have the glory on the day of Christ. And so it's a pretty powerful passage. Even though it's just a few verses, that's the reason we're only taking these few verses, one, because there's so much there. Well, let's start it. He's going to talk, first of all, he's going to say, listen, bottom line, let me just read this to you. Look at the flow. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you can prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Paul actually says to these Philippians, you guys need to live godly. You need to be lights in a fallen world. And before we even get into the verses, that's what we say for each of us. All of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, I hope every one of you have trusted in Christ, that you know for sure that you have eternal life, that you say, I believed in Jesus as my Savior. I trusted in him. He died for me on the cross. He paid for my sin. I'm trusting him and him alone to have eternal life. That's salvation. All of us in this room have trusted in Christ. What he's telling to us is, now that you know Christ as Savior, you need to be a light in a fallen world. We need to shine as lights. And we'll talk about it as we get through it. But he starts off by giving something very, very practical. Look what he says in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Wow, now that's not that easy, because we wake up in the morning and we go, oh, it's raining. Oh, it's raining. Oh, these pants don't fit right. Oh, my shoes are not. How come I have to do this? How come the teacher gives us tests like this? How come we have this many projects? How come we have to do this? I don't want to do this. Well, this is not the way I want it. That's our life, isn't it? We wake up and all day long we say, I don't like this and I don't like this and I don't like this. How come it's taking so long? I already ordered. How come it's taking so long? My coffee's not hot enough. That's what our life is, isn't it? We grumble and complain. Notice it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now what he's trying to do is set us apart, because the world complains. The world complains. Everybody in this world says, this is not the way I want it. Right? And he's saying, I want you to be that way. Because if you're going to be different than the world, then you can't be known as a grumbler and a complainer. So he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Notice he didn't say do some things without grumbling or complaining. He said do all things. We are supposed to be different than the rest of the world. And we live without this griping or this disputing. The word grumbling is an unusual word. It means to murmur under your breath. In fact, the Greek word sounds like what it means. It's the word gungusmos. That's the word. It means gungusmos. I mean, I don't like the way it is. That's what the word means. And that's how they would probably say it, gungusmos. And it means to murmur. And it means to, you know, I don't like it this way. I don't want it this way. And it means to murmur. It means to grumble. It means to complain. And that's what we do. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. The word dispute means to argue. It means to have conflict. And you remember we talked about that we got to be different than the rest of the world? And the rest of the world has conflicts, but what we got to do is get along, because unity is the key. We go all the way back to chapter 1 when he says, conduct yourself in a manner with one mind, one striving together, one faith, one this. Chapter 2, he says, same mind, same love. Unity is the key. And he said, how do we have unity? We have humility. And we're supposed to live that way. Now, the bottom line is this. If we live in unity, I'm talking about the believers, the world will listen to us. But if we have division, they will laugh at us because we don't have anything to offer them. See, if we live in unity, they'll go, what makes y'all different? The idea here is, he says, listen, don't live a life of grumbling or disputing, but live a life of joy, no matter the circumstances. Remember we said at the start of the letter that Paul's in prison in Rome, and all throughout the letter he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. It's all the way through the book. Keep on rejoicing. Bottom line is, listen, don't live a life of grumbling and complaining. Live a life of joy. Joy in the Christian life. Do all your life without fussing all the time, without complaining all the time, without griping all the time. Let's stop for a minute and think about our attitude. How do we look at life? What's our attitude? Is our life a time to gripe and complain? Now, I want you to think about something. You realize we get to serve the living God. I mean, you think about the one who created everything. God spoke it all into being, created it all, created you, and God actually says, I would like you to serve me. You get to serve the living God. So we're going to go around griping all the time? We get to serve the living God. You know what he did? Jesus Christ came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for our sins, and rose again. Why would we gripe? We have the Savior of the world. He came to die for you. He came to die for every human being and rise again. We have a Savior. He gives us eternal life. He didn't give us life for a while. He didn't say, if you'll act right, I'll save you. He said, I'm giving you the gift of eternal life. You can be with me forever. We have eternal life as a gift. Not by our works, but by faith alone. He gives us spiritual gifts, abilities to serve Him. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. That's why we can do all things through the one who strengthens us. He gives us ministry opportunities. And bottom line, as I said a while ago, we get to serve the living God. When we wake up in the morning, should we gripe and complain? Or should we say, another day? You allowed me to live another day. Do you know that's the... I do say that. And I'm not just making that up. When I get in the shower, the first thing I say is, thank you, Lord, for letting me live another day. He doesn't have to let you live another day. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old. You think, well, you get older, you better be don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted when you're young. You don't know how long you got. You don't know how long he's going to let you live on this earth. And what you should do every day is say, Lord, thank you for giving me another day. Now, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I want my life to count for you. He says, don't live a life of grumbling and complaining, but live a life of joy. We get to live for Jesus Christ. In fact, he goes on to say something. He says, listen, don't do things, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a light in the fallen world. Notice the verse. He says, you'll prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Bottom line, we're lights in the world. We stand out. We're supposed to shine. We're supposed to be different. Let me tell you, if you are grumbling and complaining, you're not going to stand out. Because everybody else grumbles and complains. Everybody, that's what the world is. It's a fallen world. But if you live differently, you'll stand out. And people will say, that person's different. I don't know why they're different, but they're different. Notice what he says about us. He says this, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. Now, he starts off and says that you will prove yourself. The word prove means to show yourself. He says it'll be evident that what you are, and he begins to name some things. Let's look at him. He says you'll prove yourself to be blameless. First word is blameless literally means to have no fault. Now, what he means by that is that when people look at your life, they don't see all the things you're doing wrong. This doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means that you're living a godly life. And that's your goal and plan when you wake up in the morning. You say, Lord, I just want my life to count for you. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. You got the power of the Holy Spirit inside you. You say, God, I just want to live for you. He says, you want to show yourself to be blameless. So when people see you, they go, they're different. Look at the second word, blameless and innocent. The word innocent literally means pure. It means unmixed. Because the idea there is that you've decided you're living for Christ. Because some people say, I'm going to live for God. Well, I'm going to live for me too. I'm going to try to live for me and God, because I don't want to just live for God. I got to live for me, you know, and that's mixed. He said you want to live a pure life, an innocent life, which means you want your life to count for Christ. Look at the third thing. He calls them children of God, that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God. Now, the most amazing thing is this, that when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and you trust in Him, you are born again, but you are placed and born into the family of God. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. That's amazing, because you used to be a child of the devil. Jesus said it. He said, if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you do not know the way of salvation, you're a child of the devil. So we've gone from being the child of the devil to being a child of God. And we see God as our Father. You understand how amazing it was when Jesus talked about it? He'd use the words Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic for daddy. For daddy. In fact, that's what a little boy would say early. He would go, Abba, Abba, Abba. Like we say, daddy, daddy, daddy. Da-da, da-da, Abba, Abba. That means daddy. You can call God daddy. See, even the Jewish mindset and even the Gentile mindset, gods were like something like this. They're separated, and so you can't even talk with them. But Jesus said, no. You're a child of God. You call God daddy. That's what we do. And He says that you'll prove yourself to be blameless, innocent children of God. We're to live righteously in a fallen world. You got to make a decision. You have to make a decision on how you're going to live. Remember what He said over here? Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to make the decision how you're going to live. Titus says, living righteously and godly in the present age as we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Titus writes. Paul writes to Titus, of course, telling him that. But there's more. But this is the key. Blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach. The word above reproach means to be without error. It's the idea of maturity. That when people see you, they see you as a holy person. They see you as somebody who is different. See, if you're going to be a light, you got to be different. Because if you're not different, you're not a light. They won't see you. That you won't stand out. You won't be a different person. And Paul is telling these Philippians, which we can make application. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do all things without gongosmasing, without griping, without disputing. I want you to be blameless. I want you to be innocent. I want you to live like a child of God. I want you to be above reproach. We know people that if you say their name, you go, oh, yeah, can't trust that guy. They're not above reproach. You know other people that they say that person, you go, oh, yeah, what a person. Yeah, they're great. They're great. They're great. Stop for a second. How are we living? Are we different? Are you blameless and innocent? Are you living like a child of God? Are you above reproach? Do you grumble or complain? Are you doing all things without grumbling or complaining? Now he says, you have to live this way because we're in the middle of a fallen world. Notice what he says. That you'll prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's the fallen world. See, the fallen world is crooked and perverse. It is. Our world is messed up. We live in a fallen world. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The word crooked means bent. It means dishonest. It doesn't mean, the word idea means like something's broken, something's bent, and you go, oh, I don't think I can fix that. But it also has that idea of dishonest. You live in a dishonest world. You live in a fallen world. Just take your billfold of your purse. Just go downtown, put it downtown and walk away. Come back an hour, you think it's still there. It may be there, but it'd be empty. Because you live in a fallen world. You live in a world that somebody sees it and says, that's mine, I'm going to take it. Finders, keepers. That's the kind of world we live in. It's a crooked world. It's a perverse world. The word perverse means to be twisted. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We have a group of guys that meet on Thursday morning. We were just thinking about the book of Ecclesiastes because somebody had come up with a verse they wanted us to look at. And if you think about the book of Ecclesiastes as a whole, the key words that stand out are vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But it says, all is vanity under the sun. Under the sun means apart from Jesus Christ. And the truth is, you live in a fallen world that is vanity apart from Jesus Christ. Nothing lasts in this fallen world. Think about how our world is corrupt. I mean, think about just the things that are taught nowadays. The homosexuality and the teaching of an altered lifestyle where 25 years ago people wouldn't even say the things they say today. Or an adult, or an affair that people say, you know, they say I committed adultery, but they don't say adultery. They say we had an affair. Or the baby in the womb. It's not a baby. Our culture says it's not a baby. That's nothing. Our world looks at the temporal and says what's the most important thing in the world is what's right now. You deserve a break today. You better grab, you know, you go around once, you better grab for all the gusto you can. That's what our world says. When we see things totally different, as a light in a fallen world, we see things totally different. We see the eternal, not the temporal. We see the person is valued because he's created in the image of God. We live in a warped situation. Notice what he says, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The word generation there is talking about the people. Now, the fallen world system itself is fallen. The Greek word is cosmos, and it means an ordered fallen system. And we live in that system. Things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. We're looking forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, you got to live differently. He says, listen, if you do all things without grumbling and disputing, and you're blameless and innocent, you live like a child of God, you're above reproach, you're going to shine as a light in this world. And notice what he says toward the end of the verse, among whom you appear as lights in the world. It literally says, you are shining as lights in the world. Jesus said, let your light shine. As believers, we are to stand out. And the only way we're going to stand out is be different. Now, let me tell you what. Historically, some Christians have tried to stand out by what they look like. And they wear weird clothes. They wear weird clothes and they want to stand out that way. They want to be known that they're different because of the clothes that they wear. That doesn't affect anybody. I want you to know that. In fact, the world looks at that and goes, you're an idiot. That's what they say. You do not want to stand out because of your weird clothes. You want to stand out because you live righteously and godly as you represent your Savior Jesus Christ in a fallen world. That's why you want to stand out. Because you don't grumble and dispute. And you are blameless and innocent. You're a child of God. You're above reproach. You will then stand out in a fallen world. And that's what he says to do. He says, let your light shine. Jesus said, you're the lights of the world. Now, what does light do? It does two things. First of all, it pierces the darkness and points the way. I want you to think about that. Light pierces the darkness. Light shows what's right in a fallen world that's in darkness. When we live righteously, it pierces the darkness. It shows what is right. When we live godly in an ungodly world, it stands out. It shows what is right. God is light and in him is no darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's John chapter 1. You live in a world that wants to be in darkness. And when you come living righteously, you're the light. You pierce the darkness. You show what is right. The second thing, the light points the way. You get to point the way. Just as that light in my uncle's house, it pierced the darkness because I was in the darkness. I looked back, I saw that light, and then it pointed the way to get back to the house. When we live as lights of the fallen world, you pierce the darkness because you show them righteousness and you point the way. See, you get to tell them about Jesus Christ. The greatest privilege you could have in your life. And if somebody said to you, what do you think would be the greatest thing you could do? And you could say, well, I could be a surgeon, or I could do this, or I could do this. The greatest thing you could ever do is what any of us can do, and that is to tell somebody else about Jesus. It's the greatest thing because it takes them from death to life, from darkness to light. That's what it's all about. We get to point the way. So two things I want you to think about for each of us. Are we living as lights in a fallen world? Are we doing all things without grumbling and complaining? Are we blameless, the innocent children of God? Are we above reproach? As we do that, we will pierce the darkness. That when you live righteously and godly in a fallen world, where whether it's in a dorm or in a house or in an apartment or in a workplace or in your family or where it is, when you live differently, people are going to see it. And it's going to pierce that darkness. And the second thing is you're going to be able to show the way. Because there's some people going to come up to you and they're going to say, what is it about you that's so different? And you can get to tell them. You can point them the way of Jesus Christ. We can pierce the darkness by how we live. We can show the way by our message. That's why I love this verse, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, our words, that's where we give out the gospel. That's where we point the way. Our deeds, that's where we're holy and blameless. That's where how we pierce the darkness. Every one of us in this room who know Christ, you are to be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach, doing things without complaining or disputing, so that you will be a light. And as a light, you'll pierce the darkness with your lifestyle, and you'll point the way with your message. You get to tell them about Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said this, he said, light, as lights we're warning and guidance. As the light we warn those who live crooked and perverse lives. As lights we guide them to the way of salvation. We're to live as lights in a fallen world. That's what we're supposed to do. How do we do it? Well, verse 16 says this, holding fast the word of life. So that in the day of Christ I'll have reason to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Simply put, he says, now how do we do all this? You have to hold fast the word of life. That means you live by the scripture. It literally says, as you are holding to the word. He calls the Bible the word of life here because the Bible is the message of life. You realize that. The Bible is where we know about life. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In John 11:25, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He promises eternal life to all who believe. The story of the Bible is how the perfect God brings sinful man who is dead back to himself through his son Jesus Christ, giving us life, eternal life. That's why the Bible, he calls it here, the word of life, because it gives us the truth of life. Are you holding fast to the word? The only way you're going to be able to make a difference is that you live righteously and godly now in this fallen world. That's the only way. Now, he goes on to say this, and he talks about himself here. He says, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Now, let me tell you what he's saying. Just simply put, he says that when I stand before Jesus Christ, I can have glory. He can be happy that the Philippians lived righteously. He's basically saying, when I stand before God, God will say to me, good job, Paul. The Philippians did good. That's what he's saying. Same thing for us. When you use your life to touch other lives, one day you'll stand before Jesus Christ and he may say to you, good job. Those people, they kept on growing as Christians. You had an impact on their lives. Now, I want to explain a couple of things to you. Notice he says, holding fast the word of life so that in the day of Christ. What is the day of Christ? Some people get confused about that. The day of Christ, I think we got it up here, got a couple of verses there. The day of Christ is when you will stand before your Savior, Jesus Christ, to be rewarded. I want you to understand something. You will never stand before Jesus Christ, your Savior, for your sins. You will never stand before Him for your sins. Your sins have already been placed on Christ. When He died on the cross, He took the sins of the entire world. Every sin you've ever done, past, present, future, was placed on Jesus Christ, and He has paid the penalty, and your sins are separated, moved as far as the east as the west. You will never stand before Jesus Christ for sin. You will stand before Jesus Christ to be judged for how you lived as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. The word is recompensed. It means rewarded for the things we've done in this body, whether they're good or, most Bibles put the word bad, but the word means worthless. It means rotten fruit. You will stand before Jesus Christ, not for sin, but how you lived. Did you live as a light in the midst of a fallen world? Were you innocent, blameless, children of God, above reproach? If you were, when you stand before Him, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Romans 14:12 says, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So when Paul says, at the day of Christ, he's saying, when Paul says, I stand before Jesus Christ, I'm going to have reason to glory, which means reason to be happy because the Philippians lived godly. That's all he's saying. And one day we're going to stand before our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what we want to hear Him say is, well done, good and faithful servant. And thank you for being a light and living for me and touching lives for Jesus Christ. And many of those lives did good. And we'd say, oh boy, thank you. That's great. That's what it's all about. See, what we don't realize is that even if you live 100 years, that's like a dot for all eternity. And one day you'll be with your Savior, and you'll be with your Savior for all eternity. And how you lived here as a believer will have an impact on how you get to serve Him and be with Him for all eternity. Most people don't realize that. They think, look, we go to heaven, we're all going to be the same, holding hands, rocking back and forth. That's what everybody thinks, right? No. Not all the same. Based on how you live for Jesus Christ, you will have places of responsibility. Look at Revelation chapter 22 when it says, and for all eternity we will serve Him. What's going to be the basis of your service for all eternity? It goes back to how you lived here. Paul says, what I want you to do is I want you to do all things without griping. I want you to not complain. I don't want you to have conflicts. I want you to be blameless and innocent children of God. I want you to be above reproach. I want you to shine as lights in this world as you hold fast the word of God, so that when you stand before me, I can say, well done, good and faithful servant. He just ends this. He says that, bottom line, he says, so that I can have reason to glory because I didn't run in vain or toil in vain. He said, when I served the Philippians and worked for them, God used them, and they went on and grew as Christians and made a big impact. And that's what he's saying. Now, I want to end with one thing before we just kind of give a summary of what we've looked at. The next section is going to deal with three people. Paul's going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about Timothy, and he's going to talk about a guy named Epaphroditus. And what we do is we see three lives coming up. It's going to take 2 weeks to go through it, and I want to show it to you. Paul, we're going to look at Paul as the sacrificial life. We're going to see Timothy as the proven character life, and we're going to see Epaphroditus as the faithful worker. And the bottom line is we want to be the same. We want to be people who give our lives in service. We want to be proven character people. We want to be godly men and women, and we want to be faithful workers. And so the next couple of weeks as we go through this, we'll be seeing these three lives. Well, this morning, what have we seen? We've seen Paul says this. He says, listen, I want you to make a difference. I want you to be a light shining in a fallen world. You do that is you don't grumble, you don't complain. You're innocent and blameless. You're a child of God. You live above reproach. You hold fast the word of God so that you will be lights in a crooked and perverse world. You'll stand out. You'll pierce the darkness, and you'll show the way. We've got to do that. Let me give you some applications, okay, and then we'll stop. The first one is this. Remember, we live in a fallen world. It's a fallen world. This world is shaping us. It's pulling us. We're to make an impact for Jesus Christ. We cannot be conformed to this world. You remember Romans 12? Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now listen to this. This is true. Watch this. If we are not consciously being transformed by the Word of God, we will unconsciously be conformed to this world. It is true. If we're not consciously deciding that we're going to live for Jesus Christ, we're going to take in the Word of God, we're going to live out the Word of God, we're going to be different. If we're not consciously doing that, unconsciously, this fallen world will be shaping us. We don't even realize it is happening. So you must consciously decide, I'm going to live for Christ. Remember, we live in a fallen world. So what do? Let's be lights in our fallen world. Let's do it. What does light do? It pierces the darkness. We live a righteous way so they can see us, and we show the way. We tell them the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to do this? Well, don't grumble or complain. Oh, go back if you would. Don't grumble or complain, because that's what we do all the time, right? You know what I did this morning when I drove up here? I went, good gracious, it's raining. I'm complaining. It's raining. There's some people who are going, I'm so glad it's raining. We need the rain. We should not grumble and complain. Do we see the world as a drag? Or do we see the world as that we get to serve the living God? Number two, B. Let's be holy children of God. That's who we got to be. We got to be different. We got to be pure. We got to be innocent and blameless. We got to be above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We got to be different. How do we do it? We hold to the Word of God. We live out the Scripture. We base our lives on the Bible. That's why Countryside, our goal has been from the very beginning, we teach the Bible, verse by verse, passage by passage, Sunday morning, Sunday night at CBI. We try to do it so that you can know the Scripture, so you can hold fast the Word of God, so that you can be a light in a fallen world. And that's what we must do. The key is we got to be different. And so here's the question. Are you a light? Are you innocent, blameless children of God? Are you above reproach? Are you holding fast the Word of God? Are you not grumbling, not complaining? You need to be a light in a fallen world, because with the light, you pierce the darkness and you show them the way of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for your word, how perfect it is. Help us to know it, Lord. Thank you that we realize we're in a fallen world and we don't want to be conformed to this world, so we got to consciously be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We must realize that we are to be lights in a fallen world. We want to pierce the darkness. We want to show the way. How do we do it, Lord? We don't want to grumble or complain. We want to be innocent, blameless children of God above reproach. We want to hold fast the word of God so that we'll be lights in a fallen world. Lord, I just ask you to use us as we scatter from this place, as we go into this community, that we will shine, we'll be different, we will pierce the darkness, and we will show people the way of salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name.